It's a pleasure to welcome to the program Mr. Claude Allen, who is the President's Special Assistant on Domestic Policy. And Mr. Allen, I understand you used to work over at HHS for Secretary Thompson.
I sure did. I was the Deputy Secretary over there working on health and human services issues. And so it's a privilege to now be here at the White House serving the President and the country from here.
Well, let's talk about some of the issues that came up last night. One of the ones that probably intrigues people the most in this audience is the president's comments about border control. And I don't know, when you take on the job of special assistant on domestic policy, I don't know whether illegal aliens and border control falls under domestic or foreign. Do you?
Well, actually, it falls under Homeland Security in large case, but we do interact with it because it does intersect in a number of areas. And the president on that very issue has been very clear that we need to secure the borders. We need to have interior enforcement, that is having our business community enforce the immigration laws and by not hiring or only hiring legal people who are in the country. And then thirdly, the president called for, as a part of our competitiveness agenda, making sure that we do recruit the best and brightest from the world to come and work alongside America's best and brightest.
Well, now, when you say the best and the brightest, are we talking about the least educated from Mexico and the least skilled workers who come here to do jobs that, as the phrase has been overused, do jobs Americans won't do a job, a phrase that a lot of Americans say, and I would agree, is blatantly untrue.
No, in fact, we're focusing on, in terms of a competitiveness agenda, we're actually focused on high-skilled labor. These are the individuals who come here and work in these fields of science and engineering, where they actually are working very hard to be a part of and to advance America's ability to stay globally competitive. However, in the low-skilled end of the job, we do need to recognize that there are many jobs that Americans are not taking that our economy could not function without. So the president recognizes that as well. But as far as last night's speech, he really focused on both aspects of it. But on the competitiveness side, we're really focused on high-skilled labor.
Okay, but he wants a guest worker program, and that means probably legalizing the status of tens of millions of illegal aliens already in the country.
Not at all. In fact, the president made it very clear last night that he is not talking about amnesty. He strongly believes that we need to have a system that is both humane in terms of how we treat those who come here who are immigrants, but we also need to recognize that we do not reward those who have broken our laws.
All right. Let's talk about health savings accounts. The president mentioned them last night. I've always been a big proponent of them. Glad to see that Congress passed it. Why hasn't this taken off like a rocket as a way to provide health care for Americans, since the costs are, in relative terms, a lot lower to provide somebody with catastrophic care and not what they call first-dollar coverage in the insurance biz?
Well, I think a lot of it is what the president spoke about last night in the State of the Union address, and that is that Americans are accustomed to having somebody else make that decision for them. And as we are educating more and more Americans, health savings accounts are taking off. And that's why the president last night focused on expanding them by making them competitive and making them on par with, as you pointed out, third-party coverage. That's where employers pay or the government pays the first dollar out as opposed to individuals. And as a part of that also, it's very important that a person who has a health savings account, if you switch jobs, you want your insurance to go with you. And so under the president's proposal, there would be portability with insurance, particularly with health savings accounts in this regard.
Well, now, how does his proposal go beyond what Congress has already passed? Because health savings accounts are already part of the law from, what, the last 18 months?
Well, the president's proposal goes beyond that. It will make sure that individuals and small business employees who buy insurance, such as health savings accounts, will have the same tax advantages as big businesses do, which basically means that your contribution to that is going to be taxed pre-tax deductible, meaning you're going to get the advantage of the pre-tax dollars going into it. Right now, if you work for a big company, they can put money into your insurance and it comes out of your pocket pre-tax dollars. But if you do that on your own, you're paying taxes on it before you put it into your savings account.
Now, and why would that be? Why is there the different tax treatment, basically a bias against people working for themselves or being self-employed?
Well, that's the question we ask, but that's historically how it's been done, is that big business had an advantage, and we know that the drivers of much of our economy are small businesses and that many people are moving from jobs or small businesses, and therefore we think that they should, too, also have the opportunity to enjoy the tax advantages of investing in their health savings account.
Now, let's talk about energy a bit, because the president says America's addicted to oil. What does he mean by that?
Well, I think what the president means is that we have a strong dependence upon oil in a time when that dependence is creating challenges for our economy because, one, it comes from a region of the world or regions of the world where there's a certain measure of instability, and therefore we don't have the ability to control the cost of it. And two, that we have alternatives, that we need to be looking at ways of strategically considering how we can reduce our dependence on oil. When we have ethanol, for example, as producing that, it's a method to be produced that would help reduce our dependence on foreign oil and to develop alternative fuels for our automobiles. So that's really where the president's focused on. And again, the president talks about addiction to because when we talk about dependence, the addiction means that we can take steps, real steps today that will allow us to enjoy the freedom from having that dependence upon those foreign sources of oil.
You're listening to the Lars Larson Show. We're talking to Claude Allen, who's the Special Assistant on Domestic Policy for the President of the United States. I've got to ask you, though, about ethanol. I make all my friends who are farmers angry when I ask about this, but everything I've been able to read on ethanol says that it's still heavily federally subsidized. It doesn't pencil out by itself economically right now, and that in fact, there's at least one argument to be made that it takes more diesel to go out and fertilize and, you know, plant and harvest the crop that's turned into ethanol than the energy that ends up coming out of the end of that process.
Well, certainly the president last night when he spoke about new sources for energy, and particularly as it relates to transportation and ethanol being highlighted, we need to invest more money in research and development so that we can have efficient, economical alternatives. And so, yes, ethanol has some room to grow in terms of...
I mean, why don't you give me the lowdown from somebody who's proposing this, the president, where does ethanol pencil in? I mean, I've told people before that, as I understand it, it has to have a fairly large amount of federal subsidy to bring it down to the cost of gasoline today, even when gas was up around $3 a gallon.
Well, that's largely focused on the R&D side. If we can do, as the president said last night, that the goal is to make this new kind of ethanol not only practical but also competitive within 6 years. That means there's a lot of things that have to happen that we need to move very quickly to get it to market so that it is economically produced, and that can be done and can be competitive with gasoline.
I mean, from a physics standpoint, you can only squeeze so much energy out of a soybean or a stalk of corn. So, I mean, is it physically possible to get enough energy out of those products to make it pencil out economically?
Certainly, it takes research. It will have to be research and development to do that. But that's what the scientists are predicting, that we can do that in a very timely manner to get that accomplished. And
okay.
So that's where the president's willing to take and hedge a bet on that we are able to do that because we do have the best and brightest working on these issues around the country.
Okay, but all these solutions are solutions that, if you're saying in 5 or 6 or 10 years the research can bring out the answers, then industrial application of that is probably another 5 or 10 years after that. So none of this is going to address the problems we have right now.
Well, actually, right now, in many ways, that's correct, and that's why it's important that we focus not only on the new research and development to have that accelerated along to bring us online, but we also need to focus on the conservation side. How do we lessen our dependence on these sources by, again, increasing the number of vehicles, for example, that use alternative fuels?
Well, Mr. Allen, though, are we gonna do that by forcing Americans to buy what the government thinks is right? Because I don't like those answers at all.
Not at all.
CAFE standards. I mean, there are plenty of fuel-efficient vehicles in every auto showroom around America right now. It's just they don't sell very well.
Well, actually, we just have not promoted them very well, and I think that's part of the issue. In regions of the country like here in Washington, we do know that many people are now buying and looking for those as alternatives. But actually, many people in the country already have vehicles that can use alternative fuels and don't know it. And so, no, we do not believe that the way to get there is by regulation. The way to get there is have the marketplace take control and the marketplace make it an efficient, economical alternative to higher fuel using vehicles. So that's what we can do.
The marketplace. I've got to move along here pretty quick, but let me ask you this. The president mentioned nuclear power. Why doesn't the president announce we're going to start building nuclear power plants now? Because he mentions nuclear power, but nothing specific, and we've got all the technology straight off the shelf.
Well, again, in the State of the Union address, the president had a lot of things to talk about. We're going to be rolling out the president's proposals and initiatives over the course of the next week. You will hear more about that. But in terms of nuclear power, you're absolutely right. 40 years since we've had a plant built. Right now, because of policies and because of this administration's focus on getting clean and safe nuclear energy to and reducing the regulations on the industry, we will see a number of companies now willing to build for the first time in many years a nuclear power plant here in the U.S.
So, very good.
So that is on, that's online, and President will be talking about that.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Thanks
Mr.
again,
Allen.
Lars.
Yes, sir. Claude Allen is the Special Assistant